Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Okay, so let me just change gears and direct our thoughts today to what we're going to talk about. You know, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, his very first sermon, his very first message, began with the idea of how people could live the blessed life. Interesting, isn't it? Right? That the Sermon on the Mount, you have that in Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to look at all of them. In fact, we're just going to have it there for reference. We will be looking at a few other verses, however. But it's interesting that the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. Because they're not things that you do, but they're things that you are. It's an attitude, right? And Jesus' sermon began, and the word beatitude really means blessings. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. I find that interesting because the most famous sermon in all the Bible deals with the idea of being blessed. Why is it that Jesus started the sermon that way? Because to me, that was what was foremost in people's minds. Right? Think about it for a moment. They were living in a time of great need. They were barely eking out a living. They were living under Roman oppression. Okay, they were living with less than favorable circumstances in their homeland, okay, but still not really their own homeland. And so after a certain amount of time, they began to wonder, are we enjoying God's blessings? Are we living God's blessings or not? I think we're kind of the same. I think we also think that way. I think that we look around and sometimes we equate our hardships with perhaps a lack of God's blessing. And I think like them, we wonder, God, are you still with us? God, are you still coming through with us? Are we living under these times of lack because we're under God's wrath, because we're under God's judgment? And I think it's normal for us to think that. I think whenever we go through a time of great need, I think that the very first, especially if especially if you've been walking with the Lord or your awareness of God has been raised and peaked, I think it's natural to wonder, Lord, are you in this? Are you causing this because I've done something to offend you? And so you've kind of withdrawn your hand from me. I think it's human nature to think that. And so just like them, they kind of wonder, we wonder, okay, are we living as blessed as we should be? Or is God withholding because we've done something, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And in fact, that word blessed, if you look at it right there in the first couple of verses in Matthew, that word blessed has a lot of different nuances and meanings. And the primary meaning is to be happy. To be fortunate, to be envied. Another word for it is to be congratulated. Right? So think about that for a moment. Every one of us, we want to be happy. We want to be fortunate. Right? We want to be envied. We want to be congratulated. I mean, congratulations. Think about that. Congratulations communicates the idea of us accomplishing something. Congratulations, you got married. Right? Congratulations, it's a boy. Congratulations, you got a promotion. Congratulations, you graduated from high school. Congratulations, you got accepted into this program. Congratulations on your certification. It communicates the idea of prospering somewhere or of accomplishing something, right? So now look at the person next to you. And say, congratulations, you're blessed. Now listen, no, don't say you're blessed. Congratulations, you're really blessed. Right. See, every one of us, we want all the good things that God provides. Right? In fact, I remember a pastor friend talking to him, and I remember him saying to me, You know, I know it's not about me. You know, we were doing a study years ago on Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the very first statement in the book is, not about you. Look at the person next to you and say, it's not about you. And I remember the pastor telling me this. My friend, he told me, I know it's not about me, he says, but I do want to be blessed. Right? Look at the person next to you and say, it's not about me, but I do want to be blessed. Right? I think all of us have that sentiment, don't we? We know it's not about me, but I do want to be blessed. Okay, I want to be blessed too. Right? And the truth is, here's the truth of all this. The truth is that God wants to bless us. Right? And we say, because we understand this to be true from the Bible, that God has no favorites. But really what that means is that you're all God's favorites. Right? You're all God's favorites. How does that work? I don't know how it works. Okay? But you are. You are in a way his favorite. But even though, now check this out. Here's where we're going to make the switch. Okay? But even though you are God's favorite, okay, it seems as though he blesses some people more than others. Right? We don't like hearing that because it kind of goes against our very limited idea of equality, right? But it's true, and it's undeniable. Some people are blessed more than others, but that's okay, because I'm going to tell you today how you can catch up with those people. Not really, because I don't really want you to. I don't really want to create a. I don't want to create an environment of you comparing yourself. Hey, she's got a better watch than me. I want one of those. No, that's not what that's about. It's not about comparing. But now listen, because whether you believe in Christ or not, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, we all enjoy something that we call God's general blessings, don't we? And God's general blessings, even unbelievers, okay, they enjoy God's general blessings. And what does that mean? They have nice houses, you got decent cars, you have clothing, you know, we live in a city, and you know, we were driving down an area yesterday that was beautiful and you know, manicured and well-kept, landscaped sidewalks, and we got schools, we have utilities, so we're blessed. As a society in this country, we're blessed. In fact, I was reading from an organization called, it's online source, is called policymike.com, and it reported something that I think was pretty interesting. It reported that according to the Department of Health and Human Services, someone at the poverty level in the U.S., poverty level is below 18,000, somebody told me. I thought it was 15 or 14, but somebody told me it went up to 18. So below, so if you make less than 18,000 a year, don't raise your hand. If you make below 18,000 a year, you're still on the top 14% of the global income distribution. What are we talking about? Perspective. Perspective. And the same study showed that if you are in the bottom 10% of income wage earners in the U.S., the bottom 10%, 90% make more than you. You're at the bottom of the totem pole, social, economically speaking. So if you're at the bottom 10% of income distribution, you're still, when we bring those figures and compare it to the world globally, you're still at the top 30% of the global income earners of this world. What does that tell me? That even the poorest people in our country are far better off, okay, than people with moderate means in other countries, right? In this country, we're blessed. We're blessed in this country, okay? Listen, if your house catches fire, the fire department will come and shut it off for you. Not true in every country, right? If you are legally wronged or civilly wronged, you know, you can take that person to court and perhaps get some justice through the court system, right? If you want to worship, you're free to go worship anywhere you want in this country, okay, without fear of being killed. Or your church being, or your church being, you know, lit on fire. If you need medical attention, immediate medical attention, you can go to any emergency room and they will not turn you away. In fact, I found that it was interesting because my wife and I, we were speaking to a young lady that did a missions trip this summer. And she did a medical missions trip, and she was showing us a picture, a video, in fact, of a lady in the team that they were ministering to. And the lady, when she was younger, she's an older lady now, thin, but she was thin. But when she was younger, she got into an accident where she broke both of her arms. It wasn't just a fracture. It was a clean break. Clean break. She went to the hospital, okay, and in the hospital, you know what? You're going to have to choose because we could only fix one arm. We could, yes, absolutely. We could only fix one arm. So they only were able to set one arm. And then what happened is that her bone, instead of her bone fusing together in the regular, the other arm, there wasn't. It just grew. The bone was unfused. And now you see her in the video moving around. And it's like she's got like a second elbow. She's lost, okay, mobility in her extremities. But she grew up. Listen, that would never happen here. Right? So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, you know, general blessings. Our children can go to school and learn basic math and basic reading. People are not jumping, okay, in boats in off of our shore and trying to flee this country to go find a better country. People will say, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm leaving. They haven't left. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go that's better, really? No, listen. I'm not saying that we don't have problems. I'm not saying we don't have issues. And believe me, this is not a political sermon because I'm getting somewhere with this. But listen, I want you to understand the concept of us experiencing great general blessings merely by us living in this country. Where are you going to go that's better? Well, we go to Denmark because I hear that in Denmark, people are happier. Now, check this out because this is what you hear. I'm going to go to Denmark because we hear that they are the happiest people in the world. True. But here's what you don't hear, that the highest use of antidepressants also occurs in Denmark. What does that tell you? They're all happy pills over there. No wonder they're happy. Anybody can be happy when they got, you know, when they're popping Prozac. So listen, so what are we talking about? We're talking about perspective, and we're talking about general blessings. See, I say that because sometimes we believe or we feel sometimes that we have a divine right to you know, health and security and freedom, and we forget sometimes that the rest of the world is struggling just to get by, and these things that sometimes we just take for granted, but they are in fact blessings. Whether you're good or bad, you're blessed with the same. You benefit from it just the same, right? Now listen to what the Bible says, because this is a scripture in John chapter 1, verse 16. It tells me that everything good that you have is a gift from God. To John 1, 16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. One blessing after another. We've received from Christ even more blessings. I talked about general blessings, but let's talk about some specific blessings that we have gotten, that we receive simply because we've identified with Christ. We've received the gift of salvation. The greatest gift, the greatest idea ever is the gift of salvation. It's more important than your health. You know, in some Latin cultures, you know, you hear there's a saying, lo que importa es la salud. What matters is your health. Now, what matters is your salvation. What good is it? Okay, if you are, if you are an icon of health, but you go to hell. So much so for your health. You ain't going to be healthy there. Right? So that's not the most important thing. The most important thing in God's economy, in God's point of view, the most important thing is salvation. So that's something that we have to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for not holding my sins against me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for healing me. Lord, thank you for letting me change in areas where I tried, and I couldn't. But when your Holy Spirit filled me, now guess what? Now I was able to overcome that addiction. I was able to overcome that depression. I was able to overcome that drug dependency or that alcohol dependency. And so what do we thank God for? We're thanking God for some specific things that he's given us simply because we've accepted Christ, right? Now, this means to me that we received a great deal of God's favor simply because of his grace, right? Now, what about people that we see that seem to be blessed more than us? What about them? Okay. Does it mean that they're better than us? Are you better than me? You think you're better than me? I tell you, that's just a couple of kids messing around. You think you're better than me? Yo, you passed by me. You didn't say hello. Do you think you're better than me? No. No, it's not that you're better, because the Bible says very clear. In fact, you could, you know, jot that. You have there in your notes, Galatians 3, it says, in verse 27, it says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become a child of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become part of the family of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. By the confessing of your sins, the confessing with your mouth, the believing in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's how you become a child of God. But it says in verse 28, it says, in Christ there is no difference between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female. Red, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. It says, you are all the same in Christ Jesus. Why? Because no one is better, because we're all created in God's sight. And we're all created equal in God's sight. Now here is the twist. Even though we are all equal and no one is better than another, okay, not everyone makes better choices. Right? There are people that make better choices than other people. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Right. And so now here's the way it works. When you make better choices, you're going to get better outcomes. Right? When you make better choices, you're going to make better outcomes. So some people are blessed. Why? Because they made better choices. Not because they're better. Okay, because we're equal, but they've just made better decisions in some areas of their life that has translated into what? Into the success or the prosperity or the blessing that you and I interpret or that you and I see in their lives, right? And it says here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, it says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. So people that make good choices enjoy more of God's blessing, right? And as a result of that blessing, okay, they experience more of God's prosperity. That's why I want to today, I wanted to share with you a couple quick ways that you can set yourself up to be blessed even more. Look at a person that you say, I want more. I want more. Yo quiero más. Yo quiero más. I'm not talking about Taco Bell either. And so here's the first point. I think you're following this on the outline. How do you receive more of God's blessings? You receive more of God's blessings through Jesus Christ, right? If you want God's blessing in your life, it begins with receiving God's Son. You have to embrace His Son. You cannot bypass God's Son and say, God, I want you to bless me, but I don't want your Son. Doesn't work that way. Try that with a parent. I like you, but I don't like your kids. Sorry. Okay. No deal. All right. On that one. And so some people try to do that. They try to bypass Jesus in order to get blessed. And it's not going to happen. In fact, look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Check this out. Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All the blessings that we have are tied directly to our relationship with Jesus. Right? All of God's blessings are wrapped up. He is the source. Jesus is the source of all of my resources, right? And so, see, what happens is we want to be blessed, and here's what you want. Okay, give me the principles to be blessed. Give me the formula to be blessed. Give me the steps to be blessed. Okay. Give me the equation to be blessed. But God is saying, listen, it's not about a principle. It's about a person. It's about my son, right? God's blessing doesn't start with rules, okay? In fact, that's the problem with religion. The religions bring a bunch of rules upon people and say, if you keep these rules, then God will grant you favor and God will grant you a blessing. And that's the difference. See, you don't get blessed through rules. You get blessed through a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ, right? And so now, think about it, because now you're thinking, according to the scripture, it says, we're blessed with everything we need. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So for a moment, think, I'm waiting for God to bless me. Wrong answer. You're not waiting for God to bless you. God is waiting for you to appropriate the blessing. He's already blessed you. He's already taken the first step. Right? And the first step was what? In sending his son, in sending us the remedy. See, the Bible tells me very clearly, and guys, we know this experientially. We know this through experience, right? That through our rebellion, we all moved away from God. The Bible says in Romans, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There's not one that does good. The Bible makes that very clear. So we've all pulled our way, moved ourselves away from God. And guess what happens? When you move away from God, you move away from God's favor. You move away from God's blessings. But God provided a remedy. While we were yet sinners, Romans says, while we were still in rebellion, while we were still moving away from God, while we were yet sinners, Christ was sent to earth. Christ died for us, right? And he died for us, what? To bring us back to him. And how did he bring us back to him? He canceled the debt that we couldn't pay. He forgave us for the penalty. He took care of the problem, the penalty of our sin. And so he died on the cross so the things that we've done wrong, okay, could be canceled, could be forgiven. And so that now, those very things that kept us from drawing near to God now no longer become a hindrance. Why? Because we're forgiven. So what are we talking about? We're talking about enjoying the blessing of God. And the blessing of God comes how? It comes first and foremost through Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. If it's not through Jesus, it's like the Monopoly game. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It has to begin with Jesus. Now look at the second thing. The second way that you and I can be blessed. The second way is that we have to be grateful. You following that in the outline? We have to be grateful for what we already have. Be grateful to God's, you know, for God's blessings already. God loves to bless people who are grateful, thankful, appreciative. God's not too keen on blessing people who are always complaining, always murmuring. Life is hard. She's got more than me. He doesn't deserve that. I don't know why he got promoted and not me. Well, now, yeah, I know why he got promoted and not you, because of your stinking attitude. Right? So think about it for a moment. Why would God want to bless someone that's ungrateful? All you parents out there. Okay, all you parents that are halfway sane, not the dysfunctional ones, the halfway sane ones. Okay, which are all of you. Okay, because the dysfunctional parents, they go to that church over there. Not this one. So think about it. All you parents that are out there. So you have a spoiled child. No, not here, but just indulge me. Okay, so you have a spoiled child who's acting horribly, who's throwing a temper tantrum, okay, and they're disrespectful, they talk back. Do you want to bless that child? Now, I know some of you parents need a little course or two on parenting, and you know, you've learned to kind of appease. And it's like, oh, no, oh, cute little Johnny. Oh, he's a special kid. You know, he's really intelligent. And we don't want to spank him. We don't want to. You're creating a monster. You're creating a monster. You're creating a monster. That guy's running your house. Cute little Johnny, you're going to what? He's going to be the next emperor. Next dictator. Not going to be benevolent dictatorship either. Okay, listen. But I digress. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not talking about parenting. But I'm talking about what? I'm talking about parents that want to bless their kids. And listen, what kid do you like to bless? Do you want to bless the kid that's always complaining? Oh, I don't like to eat that mac and cheese. We had that 2 weeks ago, and I don't like this. And I don't. Or do you want to bless the kid that says, "Thank you, Mom"? Listen, children, kids, you want to absolutely like. Give a heart attack to your mom or dad. Be grateful. Wow. Chicken. No heart attack, you know, just figuratively speaking. Wow. Chicken, corn, and rice. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Listen, show a little bit of appreciation and you'll absolutely think that, you know, something miraculous is taking place. But here's the point. The point is that we love blessing our kids when they're grateful. And we don't like blessing our kids when they're acting like spoiled brats. Nor should we. So the same thing that happens to us in the natural, don't you think happens in the spiritual? God says, okay, I got to bless some people today. Let's see who are the most grateful ones. And the ones that are the most ungrateful, maybe not. Maybe not, right? So here's why, where this becomes important is because when we thank God for what he's already blessed us with, all right, he begins to bless us even more, right? And he blesses us with more. And here's how it happens. He blesses us with more and we're thankful and then he blesses us with more. And so we're thankful and then he blesses us with more, right? And so God looks to people that are grateful for what they have. You know, I love the spirit that was here this morning, you know, just before we took communion and during communion, the spirit of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. Thank you, Lord, for paying for the penalty of our sin so that we don't have to pay for it. Listen, do you understand what that means? I know we've talked about this. We hardly talk about it, but you realize that you realize that you don't get to go to hell. That's a good thing. Yeah. Somebody should be happy about that. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, Jesus broke the power of sin. Jesus guaranteed a place for me in heaven. Listen, you may not like my house now, but wait until you get to my house on the other side. I got a great place waiting for me on the other side, right? And so God loves it. God loves it when we're grateful. So you have to be thankful for things, right? And so now, if God loved me enough to secure my eternal salvation, if God loved me enough to send his son to pay the ultimate price, okay, for my salvation, that means he loves me enough to take care of my trivial little things. Don't you think he's going to take care of you in that financial issue? Don't you think he's going to take care of that issue that you're going through relationally with your spouse? Don't you think he's going to take care of your health problems? Don't you think he's going to take care of your job and your studies and every other area in your life? If he cared enough about you to send Jesus, he's not going to stop there. So begin to thank him. Be grateful. As long as you stay ticked off. Yeah. As long as you stay ticked off, as long as you stay angry, as long as you stay bitter and ungrateful, guess what? Guess what? Then you're going to be there and you're basically putting a stop to God's blessing in your life. You're going to stay in that emotional prison that you've created for yourself. You're going to be continually trapped by your guilt and trapped by your shame and trapped by your bitterness and your resentfulness and your loneliness. Listen. You're creating a prison for yourself. And the prison is created, why? Because you're still hanging on to those bitter, angry, unforgiving thoughts. You're ticked off, right? But I want to tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. You can be set free. And even though maybe even today you're here and you say, yeah, Pastor, you know, you're talking to me because I've been really, like, I'm really sour. Like, I've turned into a grump. Like, all I do is complain. Listen, don't you think God can change that? Don't you think God wants to change that? Yeah. God can change your perspective, and he wants to change your perspective. Why? Because he wants to bless you. And if he wants to bless you, and the means for you to be blessed are for you to be grateful, then God, you can be certain, can come on the scene, and he can create of you something that's not there. He can start putting in you that attitude that right now you're lacking, the attitude of gratitude. Because that attitude is one of the keys for you being blessed, right? Look at the next step. The next a way that you can be blessed. Now, this is important because you have to expect God's blessing by faith. God, very simply, blesses people that believe. Right? Perhaps more than anything else, the one thing that God looks for in people that he blesses is he looks for people whose hearts believe that he can. Believe that he wants to, right? People who expect him. See, because faith is the only thing that will bring the blessing of God to your life. That's why it says in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God says, listen, you want to get to me? You want to get to my blessings? You want to get to my spiritual prosperity? It begins with you believing. You have to believe. And faith, here's what faith does. Faith believes, okay, faith expects the good things from God. And the reason it works this way is because when you have faith that God wants to give you and is going to give you good things, when you have faith, you know what that does? That is you paying a compliment to God. Right? That's you saying, you know, God, I know you want to bless me, and your blessing comes to me not because I've been good, but because you're good, because it's in your nature to be good. Right, so if every blessing that God gave me was only produced as a result of some action on my part, then guess who brought the blessing? You did. But there's a concept called grace. And the concept called grace says, God says, I'm going to bless you for no good reason. And the reason and the way that's because of my nature, God says. And the way that I'm going to bless you is all I expect you to do is expect it, is believe it, is trust me for it. So you're paying a compliment to God. You're saying to God, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to solve the solution or this problem. But I know this, God. I know this. I know that you've come through for me in the past. Okay? I know that you've blessed me before, many times before, and I'm counting on you again. Yes. I'm counting on you again, and I'm expecting you, God, to bless me once again. See, God loves it when that attitude, you know, when that attitude goes into gear, God loves it. God says, yeah, I'm going to bless them because they're expecting me to bless them. Yes. I'm not going to disappoint them. Yes. Right? Because faith visualizes. It visualizes the future. It's seeing the blessing that you need. It's seeing the blessing that you want. But it's seeing the completion, the fulfillment, the solution. It's seeing it in advance. That's why in Hebrews 11 it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. There's a certainty. Okay, and being certain of what we do not see. Faith sees. Your natural eyes don't see. How crazy is that? Right? That's Hebrews 11:1. I don't know what version it was. I think it might be NLT, maybe. Not sure. Faith knows. Faith knows that it'll be rewarded. See, here's why the devil works so hard and attacks us. Because now when you think the devil attacks me, you know, it's not the devil attacks you like through night terrors. Yeah, he can do that. It's like the devil attacks you by sending you, you know, giving you the opportunity to embezzle $3 million. Not often do those situations present themselves. But here's how the attack of Satan occurs. He introduces doubt into our mind. And that doubt is filled with worry. And that doubt is filled with fear. And the reason that he attacks us this way, first of all, because you don't know he's doing it. Right. And secondly, it's because if he can get you to live with worry or fear or doubt, then he can block you from receiving God's blessing. Yes. Because the blessing comes through faith. Yes. Right? And if I'm worried, and if I'm doubtful, and if I'm fearful, and if I'm anxious, or if I'm angry, all those things work against my faith. And so guess what? When he gets you to worry, he's in effect stopped you from being blessed. Because as long as you walk in the flesh, as long as you walk by sight, as long as you entertain all those what ifs, what if this, but what if that, but what if this happens, what if they don't listen, what if it doesn't go through, what if it doesn't happen, what if this bad person, you know, the what if, you know, the what if that's, you know, that creates that anxiety. As long as you keep entertaining those things, you are no longer exercising faith. Listen to what Paul said about this, because Paul says something very interesting in Romans 14. Romans 14, he says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So whenever you worry, you sin, because worry is unbelief. Whenever you're fearful, you sin, because you offend God through the unbelief of the thing that you're afraid of. Whenever you're anxious, or whenever you're angry, or whenever we're doubtful, whatever the reaction, if at the core of it, it doesn't believe God, then it's an insult to God. And anything that's an insult to God qualifies as a sin. That's why whatever is not of faith, Paul says, is sin. You have to believe God, right? And so all those times that you choose to have anxiety, that you choose to have worry instead of trusting in God, guess what you're doing? You're robbing yourself of God's favor. The very thing you want is the very thing that's kept from you. Because you continue to entertain the anxiety and the worry, and instead of trusting, you're doubting. Look at the person next to you. Say, stop the insanity. Trust God already. Come on, tell them. Stop the insanity and trust God already. I'm telling you, you don't just need to tell the person next to you. You probably need to find about 3 or 4 people to tell them that. Stop the insanity. Because it is insanity, isn't it? Right? Now, here's what Matthew says. Matthew 9, 29 says, according to your faith. Oh, man. You know what's coming. Kabow! I'm going to put the kibosh on you. Okay? According to your faith, will it be done unto you? Right? According to your faith. So you know, we tell people, you're crazy. You need to have your head examined. Right? We tell them that. No, listen. If you're not blessed, you need to have your faith examined.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Okay. Say it again. Say it again.
If you're not think of the scripture. Let's say it again. I will. Thank you, dear, for reminding me. Thank you for telling me what to do once again. Okay. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. So if you're not blessed, then you need to have your faith examined. Because it's according to your faith. And so how do you know what you're going, you know, what God is going to do in your life? Man, I wish I knew what God was going to do in my life. Here's how you know. You expect from God exactly what you have. You expect God to do exactly what you believe God to do. No more. No less. Now think about it, because we're talking about things that are crazy. How crazy then is it that we get to decide how much favor God grants us? Because it's based on our faith. Yeah. So you and I get to choose how blessed we are. Look at the person next to you and say, I want more. Yeah. Yeah. So, see, every time God did a miracle in the Bible, somebody believed it. Somebody had to believe it. Right? Somebody, you know, I don't have anything, I don't have much, but I believe. The God says, that's all you need. One smooth stone, knock out a giant. One scraggly rod, part the Red Sea. Five loaves, two fish, feed an army of 5,000. Somebody had to believe it, right? See, think about it. You and I, we only have two alternatives in life, okay? You can worry, or you can believe. Worry or believe. And every time you worry, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I don't believe that you're going to keep your promise to me. Whenever you worry, you're saying, Lord, I don't believe you love me. I don't believe you care for me to give me this. I don't believe that you want to bless me. Now think about that language right there. I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. Who says that? Atheists say that. There are more atheists in the church. Than there are in the local universities. Okay? When we say, I believe in God, but I don't believe God's going to do anything for me, you're acting like a classic, chronic little unbeliever. Why, you little unbeliever, you? Now, think about the greatest need. Think for a moment. The greatest need in your life. You know, the thing that sometimes just worries you, maybe the closing of a house, maybe a sickness that you're trying to, you know, get a handle on, maybe dealing with elderly parents or issues, learning issues that you're dealing with kids as they go back to school. Listen, don't you know that God already has a solution to that problem before it even became a problem? Right? And God says, I just need you to trust. I just need you to believe. Here's the last thing. Last way that you can live the blessed life or receive God's blessing is that you can't keep it. You got to give it away. Okay? You have to share God's blessing with other people. Yeah, right? You think God brings you to church just so you feel good, get a little goosebumps. Woo, I felt the Holy Ghost. Woo, everybody out there. Tell everybody, get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. You think that's what it's about? No. Listen. God doesn't just want to bless you so you can feel great. See, God wants to bless you so that you can be, okay, so that you can be a means to bless other people. Right? And the more you share with others, this is the way it works, the more you share with others, the more God blesses you. Right? You will be made rich, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be made rich. We like that. Oh, yeah, rich. I want riches. You will be made rich in every way, it says in verse 11, so that you can be generous on every occasion. Oh, God blesses me so that I can in turn bless others. You got it. Right? God says, I'm going to bless you abundantly, but here's the key. I need you to not just keep it for yourself and build yourself a big barn and store all those blessings in that barn. I need you to become a distribution center for that abundant blessing. Right? I'm blessing you abundantly so that you can bless others abundantly. And the minute you start blessing other people, here's how it works. God gives you more. The minute you start closing your hand and saying no, the minute the outpouring starts becoming a trickle, and the faucet starts to close, right? Now, think with me, because all of us here, I look around and you're probably thinking, what does that mean? That means every one of us here, no matter where you are in the socioeconomic ladder, all of us can give something. The greatest mistake that you make is to think, when I get to a certain level, then I will give. When I receive a certain thing, then I'll bless others. When I get more, then I'll do more. Okay, when this happens in my life, then I'll start sharing. Wrong, 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 wrong. How many times have I heard people say that and they never get to a point in their life where they're actually doing it? Why? Because it's about giving what you've received already. It's about giving. And now when I say giving, I'm not just talking, you know, monetarily. This is not about the offering. Yeah, it could apply to the offering. Absolutely. It applies to the offering. But it applies to the blessings that God has given you. Has God given you salvation? Would you share salvation with others? Has God helped you to change your life? Would you share that thought with someone else? Has God come through with you? Come through for you through something that you were praying for? Can you share that with others? Why? In other words, the more you share God's blessings, the more God blesses you. So you bless. Okay. So God wants to bless you, so you can bless others, and so He can bless you some more, so you can continue to bless others, and so He wants to bless you more. Okay. And as you bless others, He blesses you more, and it's a cycle that continues. But you can't stop it by saying, "Okay, I'm going to keep it all for myself." Right. The Lord Jesus Himself taught us in Acts 20:35, says the Lord Himself said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So God wants you to start seeing yourself, not just as a person who wants to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But He wants you to see yourself, what, as a person who's dispensing those blessings to others. Think about your friends. Think about your family. Think about your coworkers. People that desperately need. Listen, maybe they don't desperately need, but you know, you and I know there are people all around us in desperate, desperate need, that need hope. Okay, that need faith, that need prayer, that need encouragement. Would you give that? See, you're blessed with that, not just so that you can be blessed with that, but you're blessed with that so that you can give it to someone else, right? And so. More blessings come to you as you begin to develop the attitude of, I'm not going to hold things tightly. Whatever God blesses me with, I'm going to bless others with as well. Right? And so that means I have to ask myself, we're going to close here. That means I have to ask myself a couple of questions. What do I have right now that I could give to someone else in order to be a blessing? What do I have that I can give? Remember the man by the gate, beautiful? Peter said to him, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Wow. So maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's time of prayer that you could spend for somebody. I don't know what to do with your situation. You've told me this. Thank you for trusting me with your story, but I don't know. Can I just pray for you? Can I pray encouragement? Can I pray hope for you? Man, prayer goes a long way. And I say that, why? Because as a church, we need to, all of us individually, be ministers of the gospel of grace, ministering grace in its various forms, the Bible says, to the people around us. You know, so we invite people, and we understand that God can do something dramatic in people's lives, right? And so, think about this, the follow-up question. Okay, who do I know that needs to know Jesus Christ that I can invite to the church in the coming weeks? We're going to begin a series now. Next week, we're going to continue on this topic of being a blessing. But when we start in September, we're going to begin the topic of family values, 10 family values. Okay, man, it's a great time for you to bring some of your friends and families and neighbors. But I say that, why? Because you're thinking, I want to be blessed. Listen, We talked to a couple yesterday that they got saved in this church, and they were so grateful for what they've learned in this church. They're moving away now. They're going to North Carolina. But they were like, man, everything that we learned, we came here, we were broken, and we were looking for direction, and God changed them. And my wife and I were kind of humbled because, I mean, I don't even remember the occasion, but I know God touched them. Somebody invited them. And guess what? The somebody that invited them, that all of a sudden in that service, they received the Lord. Their lives were eternally, forever changed. You don't think that person that invited them is going to reap the reward of that salvation? Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's the question. Is anybody going to heaven because of you? Because of your invitation, right? If somebody died for you, you'd want to tell the whole world, somebody died for me. If I saw terrorists right now coming through those doors and aiming those gun, his gun, at my mother-in-law, and I jumped in front of her and said, no! When I got a bullet right through my chest. Okay, all right. Don't you think that whatever she would have thought of me, her mind would have changed? My son-in-law took a bullet for me. She would never, yeah, he's a hero. She would never let anyone live. She would talk about it to her dying day. Someone died for me. Yeah. Listen. Yes. Someone died for you. Yes. Someone took a bullet for you. Yes. Someone took 3 nails for you. Somebody took 39 lashes, okay, for you. Somebody took a crown of thorns for you. So the reason we don't share it more is because of the third point. We don't believe it. Because if we believed it, just like if it happened, okay, to you, realistically, somebody actually saved your life. Somebody jumped in front of the train for you. Somebody gave their life. If somebody gave their life for you, you'd be talking about it. And I'm saying that. I'm not saying that to put the heavies on you, to put the kibosh on you. I'm just saying, guys, we as a church are supposed to be an agent of God's good news. We are to be blessed, show people our blessing, but we show people our blessing by telling what God's done for us. Don't you think that people out there need to know that someone has taken 3 nails for them? That someone has taken a bullet for them? They need to know. We're the only ones that can tell them the message. And you have a great opportunity to reap in their eternal destiny when they receive the Lord and you see their lives eternally changed. You want to live the blessed life? Everybody does. We all do. Jesus knew that. Jesus spoke about that. And today we looked at how we could actually do that. Let me ask you guys to stand with me. Let's pray together. Maybe you're here. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Would you just close your eyes where you are? I want this next few moments just to be a real private time between you and the Lord. And I want to direct you to the very first point. We are blessed. We are blessed through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship. To you, Jesus is nothing more than a religious figure, the leader of the Christian religion that you follow. But that you don't really have a relationship. In other words, you've never gotten to the point where you've asked the Lord, Lord, thank you because you died for me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life. Those are the first steps to salvation. Those are the first steps towards forgiveness. those are certainly the very first steps to beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never done that. I think just about almost everybody here, good number, good majority of people here have already done what I'm going to ask you to do. And if you've never done that, if you've never entered into a relationship with Christ, but you'd like to do so today, I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer, but I need to know from you that you want this. So I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand where you are. And by you raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. Because I would like to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never done it before, thank you, Lord. Anybody like that? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for each person that's here today. Lord, I know that it's in your heart and in your mind to bless your people. And thank you, Lord, for the insight you've given us today through your word, that blessings come through faith in you. Blessings come through a grateful heart. Blessings come, Lord, through having faith, expecting you to bless us. So we pray that you would raise our level of expectation, raise our faith level. Help us be not just people that believe in you, but people who trust you for every area of our lives. May we believe good things. May we believe in miracles and in healings and in supernatural manifestations and Lord, in breakthroughs and in deliverances. We believe you. And Lord, may we also take what we've received and may we share with others. May this be a church that shares with others the goodness that you've blessed us with. We are a blessed people. And today we just thank you for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.